gold-plated diapers.
Hey there, jelly folk, and welcome to another episode of
Flapdoodle Forum,
the show where we discuss the strange occurrences in society and culture,
and provide our insight and feedback for you to enjoy.
Welcome to the show. That was set for...
Lucas, what are you grabbing?
That was set for John's position.
Diary, Lucas?
That is my writing book. It has the... drafts. Hey.
I want to see it.
No.
What? No. You don't just leave something like that out. What's in there, anyway?
Three drafts of my Morbid Curiosity script.
Oh, I want to read.
No, they're all terrible.
What are they about?
People living on an asteroid.
Oh, okay.
People dying on an asteroid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Like a mining thing?
No, I'll talk to you about it after. All right. So we got plenty of stuff to talk about, Matt. Do we got things? We got stuff?
No.
You got a good article?
No, I don't have anything.
You don't have an article?
No.
You just
I figured we would just wing it this time.
You just bubbled into this episode?
Well, I figured you were bringing Josh Gates on this episode, so...
No, that was kinda, never no, my... You, no, that you, was your wheelhouse.
No.
You had something.
You
on
told
your
me you
eye.
Had a lead on him.
No, I did. No, I didn't.
I thought you did.
No, you did.
Well, whatever happened with Bizarre States?
I emailed.
It's well
I
into the new
base.
Year, and they. You said.
Base.
You said.
No, they didn't say. They said that they to touch
you
base again when things after the holidays, when things aren't busy, and I did, and now the ball is in Bizarre States court.
It's taking an awfully long time,
right, Aaron?
Future Aaron.
Enjoying your job at...
Past Matt and Lucas. All right. I do have a story.
You have a story?
All right. And I think you're really going to like this one.
I hope so.
This is from New Scientist.
New Scientist?
This isn't your old scientist. It's your new scientist.
Are they a reputable...
Looks pretty reputable.
All right.
Reputable. Tomato, tomato.
Repudiate.
The title of this story is This E.T.? Mystery of Strange Radio Bursts from Space.
Are you being serious with me, Matt?
Yes.
Are you being
yes.
serious?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Bursts of radio waves flashing across the sky seem to follow a mathematical pattern. If the pattern is real, either some strange celestial physics is going on, or the bursts are artificial, produced by human or alien technology. Telescopes have been picking up so-called fast radio bursts, FRBs, since 2001.
Fribs.
Got fribs. They last just a few milliseconds and erupt with about as much energy as the sun releases in a month. 10 have been detected so far, most recently in 2014. When the Parkes Telescope in New South Wales, Australia, caught a burst in action for the first time. The others were found by sifting through data after the burst had arrived at Earth. No one knows what caused them, but the brevity of the burst means their source has to be small, hundreds of kilometers across at most, so they can't be from ordinary stars, and they seem to come from far outside the galaxy. The weird part is they all fit a pattern that doesn't match what we know about cosmic physics.
Why is that?
I'll explain in a moment. Michael Hipke of the Institute for Data Analysis in a place I can't pronounce in Germany, and John Learned.
I can call up my girlfriend.
Yeah, she could probably pronounce this. The University of Hawaii in Manoa found that all 10 burst dispersion measures are multiples of a single number, 187.5. This neat lineup, if taken at face value, would imply 5 sources for the bursts all at regularly spaced distances from Earth, billions of light years away. A more likely explanation is that the FRBs, or the FRBs,
Fribs.
The Fribs, all come from somewhere much closer to home, from a group of objects within the Milky Way that naturally emit shorter frequency radio waves after higher frequency ones. They claim there is a 5 in 10,000 probability that the lineup is coincidence.
So are you telling me?
Well, quote, if the pattern is real, says Learned, it is very, very hard to explain.
So are you telling me?
I'm not telling you anything. I'm just
that it's not E.T. emitting these baby back fribs, but it's a cluster of things?
No. They said it was a 5 in 10,000 probability that the lineup is a coincidence.
Oh, so does that lend more credence to it being artificial in nature?
Exactly. Okay. Now you're picking up what I'm laying down.
So these scientists are suggesting, are they putting their hair like up as high as they can go and then saying...
They're doing a History Channel special aliens. Just for this.
What do you think, Matt? Do you think that... Like us, with us...
Hold on.
All right.
It's also possible that the telescopes are picking up evidence of human technology like an unmapped spy satellite masquerading as signals from deep space.
Hmm.
So there's some other...
So it could be homemade.
Yeah.
Well, that just kills all sense of awe.
Not necessarily. I mean, that's just a possibility.
But I want it to be aliens, Matt. I want aliens out there to be sending signals to us.
Well, right now, this is the best thing that we have.
Because aliens are really fascinating as a subject.
I read something the other day that said there was a bunch of scientists at SETI who think that we are going to receive and be able to decipher some sort of communication from aliens within the next 20 years.
Next 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. Oh, is that because they're, I think, weren't they embarking on some new way of communication
mm-hmm.
that they were going to try and detect? What was it? It was, instead of radio waves, it was...
I don't remember the specifics.
I thought it was maybe light-based or something. I don't know. I can't remember. There was also another article I read. I can't remember if it was on IFL Science or IO9. But... It had to do with a technique that they were going to use to observe stars and stuff that could, suggested would be able to detect whether or not a Dyson sphere existed around a star.
Really?
Yeah. And not necessarily like, the ones that we usually think about in science fiction, which is like a star encased in a whole sphere, and then in the sphere is like, a solar system size planetary surface, but like, more of like billions of satellites and stuff forming a sphere to collect energy to, so they can detect like the way
that would be cool if we could pick up on that
somehow, the radio waves or gamma rays or something like that are coming off of the star. It's like no visible light's coming off of it, or it's like dimmed,
yeah,
but for some reason the gamma's still coming through or something to that effect. And they're like, oh, this could be evidence that there's a structure around the star,
mm-hmm.
which would be fascinating.
Although there's the argument that if there's a civilization out there that advanced, why haven't they appeared to us?
Yeah, that's exactly. There's a whole lot of... really complicated things. Like, there's kind of these paradoxes that come up when you think about it. It's like, there should be, due to estimates, like 100,000 intelligent species, civilizations in our galaxy alone,
mm-hmm.
given calculations. And then we're finding out that there's planets like ours are way more common than we thought they were.
Isn't that like the Fermi paradox?
Yeah, the Fermi paradox is, yeah, it's like, there should be civilizations, but where are they? And there's lots of explanations out there. Some strange, some...
I spent an entire night reading over this gigantic tree of, like, different possibilities for why we haven't come across alien life yet.
Do you want to share any? Remember any?
Well, there's some theories, like, Earth is located in, like... a galactic backwater that, like...
We're Tatooine.
Alien races just don't go into for whatever reason. And then there's the more bizarre, obscure theories, like the universe is just a simulation. Like, it includes everything. Like, every possibility.
Yeah, I don't like the depressing ones where it's just like, oh, space travel isn't possible, so everybody's just stuck in their solar system, or all civilizations end up just destroying themselves at some point, or some, like, all these really pessimistic, the great filter. We've discussed the great filter before, and what is the great filter, and then some suggest we've already passed it, and perhaps we will be the first civilization to manage to make it outside of our solar system, and so on and so forth. But, I don't know. It's intriguing. Like, there's other ones where, like, why would they care about us? We're just ants to them. But then again, if ants were creating cities and broadcasting radio waves and stuff, I think we would have
fascination about it. The way I see it is we're light years away from the nearest solar system, right?
Yeah.
So travel between solar systems is extremely tough, unless there's some, like, wormhole travel system that's
warp
possible.
Yeah.
Then it wouldn't be really easy for civilizations within different galaxies to really interact with each other.
And, you know, they wouldn't be going themselves. They would just be sending robots everywhere. And maybe even the civilization that is this advanced, they aren't even organic anymore. They're all machines and stuff. Uplifted consciousness, and maybe they don't have
maybe
a need
we'll
to
turn into a civilization like that.
Maybe a
couple thousand more years.
Think that's all it'll take for us, just a couple thousand more.
Well, think about all the advancements in just the last 100 years alone.
Yeah. The compounding interest of progress.
But yeah, I definitely think we need to invest a lot more into our space programs, so we can be prepared for the next big thing.
What if an alien just opened up a wormhole, like an interstellar, right in our solar system? Of just like, come on, guys.
We would
explore the stars.
Be completely unprepared. Well, I think there needs to be more of like a global space program.
Yeah?
It shouldn't be up to individual nations. Because we can accomplish a lot more if the whole human race comes together. I think we're not at that point yet. In terms of unilaterally accomplishing things, but I mean, we definitely have more of like a global, collaborative effort on other matters. So we just need to carry that over to space stuff.
I read kind of a sad article recently. It's kind of weird. There's like ones that are like really optimistic about our space program, the way things in our space program are going. Other ones where it's kind of pessimistic. And one was talking about how, you know, after scrapping Bush's moon to Mars plan and then going with Obama's asteroid to Mars plan, like they went from visiting an asteroid to bringing an asteroid to a moon and then visiting it to just taking a rock off of that asteroid and bringing it to orbit around the moon. And that's... And then
so it kept getting dumbed down more and more.
Yeah, dumbed down to the point where it sounds like it might be just, let's go back to the moon.
That's sad.
But, I mean, that would have been kind of cool to just send the humans out to an asteroid.
Well, there's still that Mars mission that they're putting together, right?
Are you talking about that Mars One thing?
Mm-hmm. They're sending four people to Mars.
You haven't been keeping up with the internet?
No.
There's been stuff coming out suggesting it was like a hoax.
Really?
Or like a huge fraud.
Oh, man.
But then like there's people inside going like, yeah, this isn't as what they said it was, so it's like kind of falling apart the seams.
That sucks. And, like, no, I haven't heard anything from it in a while.
Company they had hired to like do research on vehicles and stuff hasn't had their contract renewed, and like, I don't know.
That's sketchy. So
yeah, so...
Last I heard, they like narrowed it down to the four people that were going to be going.
It was 100. They had like 100 or something like that.
I thought there was 100 finalists.
Yeah, what, they narrowed it down to the... Wasn't it like...
I thought they
10
were...
10 people going or something?
I thought it was four.
Four? Oh, maybe four. I don't know. It is kind of how they're going. They never really presented how they're going to do this, so it's getting there by 2020 is kind of a long shot. But there are, SpaceX is planning to go to Mars with humans.
That's awesome.
So that is an actual company who is trying to do that exact thing. So maybe hopes will lie with them, but theirs is, it would take a lot longer to do it. I wanted 2030s was when they were saying it was the goal for like NASA. I want to see that happen in my lifetime, man.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I'm going to be in my 30s in the 2020s. I'll be in my 40s in the 2030s. I want to.
Man.
It's.
Needs to happen.
Needs to happen in my lifetime. Not when I'm like 150.
Well.
But when I'm now.
I think it's going to be really interesting when we move from international politics to interplanetary politics in terms of like.
You think like rise of the. I've been reading a whole series called The Expanse.
Mm-hmm.
By these two writers that collectively call themselves this. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name that they call themselves. But it's really fascinating where, you know, it's broken up into this system where it's like the you got Earth. There's like I think like 20 billion people living on it or something like that. Then you have Mars, which has extensive dome colonies and has been going through a terraforming process, but it could take like, you know, it's a long-term thing, like 100 years. And then you have like all these people living on the outer planets or the moons of outer planets and on dwarf planets. And they kind of call themselves the Belters. So they live in the asteroid belt and so forth. And it's a really interesting series of novels, and it's like trying to tackle like this conspiracy going on with this what they thought was a moon around Jupiter. Turns out it was like a delivery vessel from an alien civilization that sent it 2 billion years ago. It was meant to land on Earth, but got captured by Saturn.
Oh, dang.
And it's like this advanced molecule that converts matter. Like organic matter into.
What year does it take place in?
I think it takes like 200 years from now. 300 years from now, I'm not sure. But something like that. So, you know, more realistic sci-fi.
That's cool.
It's really cool. You should check it out, man. I didn't know. I thought they were ending out on third book, but they are coming out with more.
I saw this. This is kind of unrelated. But. I saw this thing on Cracked. It's one of their photoplasty things.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was the speed that Data could operate in Star Trek The Next Generation is like slower than computers that we have
yeah,
now.
That's right. He stated, I think. Yeah, I read that. He stated what point, like how fast he could think. And it's like, oh, I can process of this, and then like three terabytes at a minute. And
gigaflops like, or whatever.
Whatever, yeah. And it was just like, computers today can process 100,000 teraflops or something. Like whatever. It was
pretty funny.
Ridiculously high number compared to this. So like, compared to modern computers, like Data's a dumbass.
It's funny to think about.
Don't ever give a specific number.
Yeah.
When you're doing science fiction, because it will get
blown away in like 10, 20 years.
And don't
make it look
don't
dated.
Ever base anything like solely on present day technology. Like you'll see.
Although I can see why they would want to give numbers. It makes it seem more.
It makes it seem impressive.
Yeah.
But you're running into an issue.
Yeah.
In the future.
Well, that's my story.
That's your story, Matt. Well, Matt.
I'm going to need these, right?
You're going to need those earbuds.
Are you about to blow me away?
No. But I am about to share something.
Next topic!
Now, instead of doing Ghost of America this week, I thought I would finally share something that I recorded and meant to record.
What's that?
Long ago. I visited my mother this past... or 2 weekends ago.
Okay.
And
did you get evidence of a haunting?
No, I didn't get evidence. I got her personal experiences recorded down on audio.
Oh.
Of her time living in our haunted house.
Lucas?
Yeah? Yeah?
This is an awesome surprise.
Are you being sincere?
Yeah.
What am I doing right now?
Yes, there was Dad saw her first in the stairwell, I guess you'd say, the bottom of the stairs that you could go through to the dining room. Do you remember those? Come down the stairs and into the kitchen or the dining room. And he saw a little girl there. And I had been cooking at another time and looked up to see a little girl, like she was peeking around from, like she was standing on the stairs, but peeking around the corner at me in the kitchen just for a split second. But I recalled what color dress she had on and what color her hair was. Well, the thing is that Dad and I had not talked to each other about her, and I wanted to make sure that this wasn't just some little hallucination or something I was having. So when Dad said that he had seen her too, I said, well, I mean, she was wearing a blue dress that I saw. And I asked Dad what color dress she was wearing, and he said blue. And I was going to die. It was very creepy. It was kind of creepy. That place never scared me, though. It wasn't like a big freak out. I didn't drop the spatula and run out of the kitchen. I just kind of went, wow, you know, because I didn't know if I had seen what I thought I'd seen. It was an instant, which is why I thought maybe I hadn't seen it at all. So, but Dad confirmed that he had seen her as well. And then we found out later through history of the house that there had been a woman and her daughter who had used the house as a boarding house. So mayhaps this was a little girl. Don't know. I saw orbs. I would see orbs in the house every once in a while. One time, I was always in the kitchen, so one time, I was in the kitchen. We saw animals too, cats. But I was in the kitchen again behind the island because the stove was on the island, if you remember. And three orbs. Black orbs. I've never heard of a black orb. But went flying across the kitchen and around into the dining room. One, two, three. Like that. So, and Dad felt them go through him in the cellar when he was messing around with the furnace. He was like almost laying on his chest on the ground, and he came upstairs and said, whoa. Because it was like, he said it was like pulses going through him, you know. The ghosties, or ghost, or ghosts, or whatever you want to say, would lock the door at night sometimes. The downstairs door that went out to the driveway. There was one night when I woke up from sleeping and there was a woman laughing in the bedroom. Very light, happy laughter. You know, wasn't demonic or anything. But I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I saw a cat run into the dining room. One night, this is another thing that Dad and I both confirmed. One night, after one of the cats had been hit by a car, one of our cats, I can't remember if it was Martin. It doesn't really matter. But we still had a cat. And I was in bed, and I felt a cat walk across the bed and get on my back and start kneading my back. And there was no cat there. And when we woke up in the morning, Dad said, did you know that there was more than one cat in here last night? I said, yes, I did. That wasn't Lucy's personality, and Lucy didn't like sleep on the bed. That was kind of interesting. I'm trying to think of other good stuff. Oh, the Watcher. That's what Candace and I called him. This is definitely we felt, being paranormal investigators that we are, we felt a presence. It was definitely a male presence, and it was not a good feeling. That was the only thing that I found to be negative. And we called him the Watcher because you would get the overwhelming feeling that somebody was watching you. So he would watch, quote-unquote, from the master bedroom bathroom I could feel him in there. And he would hang out in this house had so many rooms, it's hard to describe, but in the fireplace room upstairs. The kids' bathroom was right off of it. Whenever I cleaned that bathroom, I had to keep looking over my shoulder because somebody was watching me. And the funky thing is, I was cleaning up in you and Kiefer's bedroom one day, and I looked up, and there was a black mist in the middle of that room that just dissipated. And that I did not have a very good feeling about. But other than that, Candace wouldn't go into the attic or Taryn's room. She thought Taryn's room felt really weird, which, people feel that way about cellars and attics, but she just wouldn't do it. And I thought that was, another little indication that things were different in that house.
Well, man,
that was pretty interesting.
What do you think?
That was pretty detailed. And it's not just one or two isolated instances. It seemed like it was pretty common for these spiritual things to happen.
Like I said, I've only had one experience, and I'm not going to... I've said it so many times, the whole dog thing. But, it's weird that that's the only thing. Well,
how old were you when you moved out?
I was 12.
Okay.
Moved there when I was 6-ish.
That's weird that you only had that one experience.
Yeah.
Because you were definitely old enough to recognize and remember things.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
I knew that there was weird that my parents had witnessed weird stuff. I knew. But even with that knowledge, like, I didn't, like, psych myself out or anything and been like, oh, I see a thing. I still didn't. And I didn't have any of those paranoid feelings. At the basement, they'd feel super creepy. And there was that weird mounded dirt in that one room that we never went in. But, I'm gonna have to bring a recorder to my dad's and get his testimony.
Ooh. Cool. Save that for another episode. Cool. Well, thanks for sharing that, man.
No problema. Mi amo. Human head transplants. Did I do
this sounds. I think you might have done this one.
Huh.
Sounds really familiar.
I might have a problem.
You don't have a new story?
I might have a problem.
Luke, that means you might have to dance for the rest of the episode. That's our new rule. If you don't have a story, you need to dance.
Wait. I have something.
You and your IFL. All
right. This is a fairly new one for me. I mean, I've only done it for a couple months.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. IFLScience.com. Sea slug steals photosynthesis genes from algae.
Ooh.
All right. The brilliant emerald green sea slug, Elysia chlorotica, spends months living on sunlight, just like plants. It's been called the photosynthesizing sea slug in the past, but how it manages to do this as well as it does is a complete mystery. In a new study appearing in the Biological Bulletin, researchers revealed that the sea slug has incorporated genes from the algae that it eats.
Wow.
There is no way on Earth that genes from an algae should work inside of an animal cell, and yet here, they do. They allow the animal to rely on sunshine for its nutrition. So if something happens to their food source, they have a way of not starving to death until they find more algae to eat. Chloroplasts are plant organelles that contain chlorophyll, the green photosynthetic pigment. Researchers have known this for a while. Skip. The sea slugs embed the chloroplast into their own digestive cells, where the organelles continue to photosynthesize for up to 9 months. That's even longer than they would perform in algae. So this is longer than they would keep going in algae, man. The sea slugs stay nourished thanks to the carbohydrates and lipids produced with photosynthesis. The paper confirms that one of several algae genes needed to repair damage to chloroplasts and keep them functioning is present in sea slug's chromosome. The gene is incorporated into the slug chromosomes and transmitted to the next generation of slugs. And even though future slugs will need to snatch up new chloroplasts from algae, the genes to maintain them are already in the slug's genome.
Hmm.
And you look at it, it looks like a leaf.
Yeah, it does. Wow.
It's even got veins on it and stuff. It's
very leafy.
Very leafy looking slug.
So, did they say exactly how the slug was able to integrate the...
Yeah, I told you. Well,
you said from eating.
Yeah.
But, like, exactly...
The mechanisms? Of which it does. Well, I don't know what. It just steals the... It just... it eats it.
Yeah, like...
The slug eats it, the algae, and then it somehow, I don't know what the mechanism that does it.
Well, that's what I want to know, because I eat plenty of things. I eat leaves, and I don't have photosynthesis.
It has links to other things, Matt, that you can go check it out.
Well, maybe I'll have to.
You might have to do that. But it embeds it in their digestive cells, the organelles, just the chloroplast organelles. Mm-hmm. Remember those, seeing those little tiny green circles in biomass inhibitor. And what am I talking about?
Biology class?
And it has genes that, like, the cells are able to keep the chloroplast functioning for 9 months.
Okay. Interesting.
So, yeah, it's just sunlight hits the slug and it continues to thrive. That's kind of like, that's something that would be kind of cool to do as a person. If you could.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
Like, eating a lot of vegetables would kind of make you photosynthetic.
Eat a salad, and then you wouldn't need to eat anything for, like, 3 days. Like, you wouldn't even feel hungry. The sun, just be in the sun. You drink some water. You know? That you could do that in The Sims. If you spend a lot of time in the garden and used a lot of plant fertilizer and, like, bug repellent, your character would turn into a plant person. And they were really easy to maintain because they had very little needs.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, you didn't have to feed them ever. As long, if you installed UV lights in the house, they would never get tired because they would be energized all the time.
Yeah.
So they can continue doing stuff all day long.
Huh.
And they wouldn't need to eat at the same time.
There you go.
And then you could just, all you had to
plant
do is drink water. Yeah. And then if you had if you mated with a plant person, you had like a plant baby, but then you never had a plant toddler. It just went straight to a plant child.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting the stages of development there.
Yeah. It was interesting. I liked having the plant people. They're really easy to have.
Could you just put them in soil and have them grow faster?
No. But that reminded me there of that. Cool. I wish I could do that.
Well, not only that, but if you could incorporate genes from other animals you ate, like,
if you want to absorb their powers.
Yeah, you could, like, eat venison and all of a sudden you could, like, run faster or grow antlers.
Grow antlers on my... I feel like they'd be more of a hindrance than a...
Yeah. Wouldn't have much use in humans.
Fast as a cheetah.
If you ate a cheetah.
A chameleon.
Or eat a dolphin, and then you could, like, hold your breath for mad long and...
Yeah, for, like, 20 minutes. Yeah, dude.
I wouldn't want to eat a dolphin, though.
Meh. But what about eating a chameleon? Then you could
blend into
the walls, yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, you'd be
the
just...
The possibilities are endless.
Feeding into your soldiers, and then they could just run around naked.
You wouldn't need to invest millions and billions of dollars into camouflage technology. Or eat birds, and then you grow feathers and fly.
Oh. But then you would neither have like huge wings to carry that mass.
Or it would just make your bones hollow.
Yeah. Instant osteoporosis.
Oh, possibilities are endless.
What if you ate a water bear?
A water bear?
Yeah, those little tiny, little cute microscopic organisms that can, like, survive the vacuum of space.
Ooh.
Or, like, that you can die and then, you know...
How do they survive in space?
3,000 years old. They just can.
Yeah, but what do they use to sustain themselves?
Like, you can... They can die. And then you just, like, put water on them and then they come back to life after, like, 3,000 years later.
Oh.
They're just, like, indestructible little guys. Like, and their tolerance to heat and cold is incredibly resilient. They're weird. They're like little tiny caterpillar things.
I'll have to look into this. That's really interesting. Can they survive, like, in those underwater sea vents?
Maybe.
There's life down there, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, I remember
life thrives around that because it's usually pretty dead cold around those spots.
I'd never heard a follow-up to this. I think I shared this story on a previous episode that scientists were like drilling into like an Antarctic ice shelf to see if they could find any organisms under the ice.
Yeah, they managed to get. They were trying to get to a lake under it. Right?
Yeah,
they managed.
Did they find any life?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So.
Pretty sure.
That has implications for, like...
two different lakes that they did. Like, the Russians did one. Took a sample. I don't know.
That has implications for, like, ice planets and ice moons and stuff where we're trying to figure out if they have life or not.
The more fascinating bit of it would be, for me, would be to find, like, organisms that evolved separate from the rest of...
Yeah, that would be interesting. Like, there's a whole colony of something crazy down there.
Yeah, some weird fish or something. Yeah.
Whew. Really, really makes the imagination go wild.
Yeah, but under that ice for something, it's like there'd be no sun.
There's plenty of water.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's been a flap-doodly-flap-doodle episode.
Sure has.
Well, jelly folk, thanks for listening to this episode of Flap Doodle Forum. We've been your hosts, Luke.
And Matt.
Quick, say something, Matt.
If you're a fan and you want to help spread the madness, log on to our Facebook page at facebook.com/psychojellyfish.
Look into the camera, Matt.
I don't want to do it
anymore.
Don't
steal. Don't steal from me.
But that's the typical ending spiel. If you want to help spread the madness, log into Facebook. Lucas, you do the rest.
If you enjoyed this episode, may I suggest that you go to our website at psychojellyfish.com to find this and other podcasts. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes and the podcast app Stitcher. Please rate and review. It really does help with the show. If you're a fan and you want to help spread the madness, give us a like at facebook.com/psychojellyfish or follow us on Twitter at jellycast. Any thoughts, words, comments, or questions, or perhaps a story you want to share with us, send it our way at email at psychojellyfish.com. Or leave it in the comments. It's been a fun one, folks.
Water bears.
Keep it psycho.
We gotta get a better setup than this.
I hope so.